Mikey Pot on the Bayou, episode 6. 6. Good afternoon and welcome to Mikey Pot on the Bayou. This is episode 6. Today is August 9th, 2005. I know that because my rent is late, as usual. I don't know why I felt like telling you that. I guess it's what's on my mind right now. On today's show, we've got a visit from Jane Wiener. She's a local choreographer, dancer, and frankly, she's a badass. Not many people get that title for me. She's one of them. There's also the girl on tech who I dubbed a badass earlier in the week. And indeed, she is. You should check her out. I'll put a link to her site and to her podcast in my show notes. So before we go on, I'm going to go on and play for you. Incidentally, I've got a new setup again this week. This week I'm using Audacity, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 QuickTime windows open for each of the tracks I'm going to play today. And we'll see how this all works out. I think it's okay. I'm going to try not to stop because I got to get this show out. I've started it several times today, and that's cheating, I think. I'm going to pretend like this is live and there's just no stopping. So, sorry, Christy of Black Math Experiment. I keep getting some distortion on this track, but I think I've got it worked out. If it comes back, I'm just going to leave it. And if you guys want to hear more without the extra distortion, you can see them live at Helios this Saturday night. This band kicks butt. Seriously, I knew Christy from LiveJournal, and I read that she had a band, and I hadn't bothered to really check them out because I'm lazy like that. So before I asked her if she would be on my show, I decided to check it out, and I love this band. The song I really wanted to play isn't available on CD yet, but this song kicks butt too. Like, I'm looking forward. I'm going to be there this Saturday night. I believe it's at 9 o'clock. I'll check that out. I don't want to open up any web pages while I'm doing this, so I'll put the information in the blog at mikeypodonthebayou.blogspot.com. You can email me incidentally at mikeypod@gmail.com. How many times am I going to tell you I'm going to play this song and then not play it? I think you guys are really going to like this. It's badass. Did I mention that I like this song? Well, then here it is, and I'll shut up.
Holding hands and running fast, up streets straight and narrow, letting go of photographs, holding on to tarot. Lose the way you'll have to pay, living on a train. Some obey and some betray, we'll set up the scene. It's getting closer now.
That's a good song. Seriously, I love that song. Let me close this window. Deet. And let me close the opening song window. By the way, that song that I open the show with is Will You Still Be Mine by somebody in his big orchestra, something, something. I'm moving QuickTime windows around. I just burped. Excuse me, but I did it quietly, so I don't know why I felt like I needed to tell you. And I'm mumbling. I do that. I noticed that in the last show, so I'm going to try to avoid that. So that was a Black Math Experiment with What We Do Is Secret. I bought the CD yesterday at Sound Exchange right down the street from me. I walked over to the local music store and bought a CD. When was the last time you did that? Well, you need to, because we're going to lose these places. I'm all for downloading music and iTunes and all that sort of stuff, but local music, it's important to like track this stuff down and support local musicians and local mom-and-pop kind of record stores and stuff, because, I don't know, we just need to have that stuff around. So the CD itself was like $5, and it came with a sticker and a button. I mean, pay no attention to that sound. So it's worth getting. Go check it out. You can buy it there, and I bet you can check it out on their web space. Let me see if I have it on my show notes. Nope. Oh, yeah, I do. It's myspace.com/theblackmathexperiment. That's where you can find more information about that band. I really like them. It's almost like a Berlinish sort of thing going on there. I hate comparing, but, you know. So if you'd like to see them live, I'll be there this Saturday, August 13th, 2005, at Helios. I don't think I've ever been there before. This has been good for me doing this podcast because I'm getting out a lot more. And I needed to because I'm a little bit of a hermit sometimes. Anyway, 411 Westheimer, Houston, Texas. Cost is $5. The opening, let me read this to you. I just copied this right out of their set. Sorry. I hope when I move things around on the windows, it's not making things bad happen. The greatest audio performance group in the known universe will begin its monthly residency at Helios. I'm guessing that means we'll find out. Camino will be opening the set. I'm not familiar with them. And the Texas Goth Radio will be the special guest DJ. Buy this CD. Okay, so how's my voice sound today? Am I too loud? I've got this microphone going. On QPotter, there was a poll someone put up. I'm such a loser for not knowing. I should have written down the name of who did that, but I'm a dumbass. But anyway, there was this poll about whether or not I had a sexy voice, and all of a sudden there were like 590-some-odd votes saying that yes, I did. Unfortunately, I would say that less than 100 people actually listened to my show last week. So the rest were going on hearsay, I guess. I suspect there was some tampering going on. Anyway, on we go. Today's guest, Jane Wiener. I've got to tell you, she's one of the most inspirational people I know of in Houston. I've got a list of big three artists who I consider muses. I love going on like with stuff like that. Jane Sibri, actually, she's probably going to leave the list soon, but she used to be like a total badass. Maybe she's going to have something good come out again soon, but her last few releases have been weak. Yoko Ono, of course, and David Sylvian. Those are the three people that just like do their thing. And even though like Jane's stuff kind of is bad lately, she's being very true to her art. So in that way, I find it still inspiring. Well, if I were to compile a list of the big three Houston artists who inspire me, the head of the list would have to be our guest, Jane Wiener. I interviewed her Friday at Brazil, which I think is going to be our new like Mikey Pot on the Bayou interview spot, because I just love that place. And I went online, I was looking at the customer reviews and stuff like that. They have a bad rap, and I have never in the, like, probably 10 years that I've been going there, I've never had a bad experience there. So check it out. It's on the corner of Dunleavy and Westheimer, and it's a great place. I've never had a bad experience there, ever. And I've been there countless times. Should I shut up? Yes, I will. Here's Jane Wiener. This is our interview at Brazil. I'm goofy today. Okay, I'm here at Brazil Coffee Shop with Jane Wiener from Hopestone.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about an upcoming performance that she's got, the cooking show, which I saw, I think, this is a series, right?
Well, there's a lot of vignettes in it. I did a couple of them about 3.5 years ago in March, and then I did the full thing in December of 2002. And I'm doing a refurbished visit back.
Okay. I think I saw the whole thing, the one in 2002?
Yes, at the Jewish Community Center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it.
Yes. I'm going big time now. I'm going to the Wortham, I'm going to the Cullen, I'm going to fill it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool, yeah. So, and that's November 5th and 6th. And the other great thing about it is we are going to open the entire upstairs free to children at risk or if they're financially underserved, so that children and their chaperones or their parents can get the experience of being at the Wortham free. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, because it's so close to Thanksgiving, tickets for the show are $25, but if you bring five or more canned non-perishable goods, you get $5 knocked off your ticket, and that all goes to a couple places around town that work with the homeless people.
Cool. So, in keeping with the whole food thing.
The whole
also.
Food thing, yeah. So, but we will take diapers because they're so expensive. But,
oh, okay. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we don't want to eat the diapers, but
you can.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you want.
So, go ahead.
So one of those like, oh yeah, I'm interviewing somebody, I'm supposed to ask questions. So that's coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be a lot of the same vignettes from before, or is it something that you're doing totally from scratch?
No, it's pretty much the same same vignettes, but since that time I've kept the same group of people working with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one addition of Erica Sandberg, but the rest of the company is the same. And they've only gotten better and more fierce. So I feel like they have a better understanding of me, because that was really the first full project that group did. And since then, we've done a lot more. And then I think technically they've just gotten stronger. Performance-wise, they've gotten stronger. So I've gone in and kind of, like I said, refurbished it, kind of updated it, made it a little bit stronger. Went back and looked on the video and was like, oh shit, why did I do that? We gotta clean that up. That's such a stupid phrase. So they've been very patient with me as I've gone in and tried to hopefully strengthen the piece a little bit. And I think, like I said, technically they're looking mighty fine.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Why the food theme? Was it something that...
I don't know. Well, maybe this will explain it, and I've never thought of it. I came up with the whole idea when I was driving from Houston to Maine, because I used to work at the Bates Dance Festival for a number of summers with underserved children there. And I drove from Texas to North Carolina with my dogs in the back, dropped my dogs off at my parents, and then drove the rest of the way. And sometimes when you're in the car that long, you know, you don't stop for a nice meal. You just want to get there.
Right.
So maybe I was hungry. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I had too much coffee and, you know, that kind of thing. But I started thinking about my next show, and I hate to say this, but I was driving and writing at the same time, multitasking. And I just was taking all these notes and making all these notes, and the idea of food just started to come out, like how funny to play with it and to kind of make fun of it, and it's something that everybody has an emotion about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's not one person that says, I've never eaten. So, I mean, I know there's some people that don't eat, but...
Right.
But
something about, like, the whole... adding that sense, the sense of taste, I guess, to the performance, it connected with me. And then my memory is awful, but one of the things I remember from that performance, which was, like, 3 years ago?
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was the very last, I think it was the last piece, that had, like, the baguettes... The French bread and the flour and everything in the air, and just the way that the stage looked at the end. Everything was so somehow peaceful, and that people were eating the spaghetti.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, I don't know, something about all that I totally love.
Yeah, well, that'll pretty much stay the same, although I think there could be more flour this time.
Wow.
I just redid that. Jennifer and Louie from Suchu Dance and Barn Builder do the Big Range Festival, and they asked me to be in it, so we kind of did a redo of that, and I like it. They look good at it.
So how do theater owners or managers respond to that? Because I remember there was a cloud of flour throughout the building.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that's good is to let them know ahead of time so that it's not happening, unless you never want to go to that theater again. And I had scheduled to do this show in April, and unfortunately I didn't get funding, which pisses me off, because I just think, you know, I look around and if I see one more stadiums built, and you know, the arts are just suffering, and the arts are so important to our culture and to our city, and we have to support them. And I already said this, but we've got to get our kids away from the television and the Nintendo and bring them to more live art, as well as, I don't mind them going to, you know, football and basketball, but I just, we need to round out our kids and have them see everything. But I had to cancel the show. But I did meet with Woody Freitag, who is the person that runs all the technical aspects at the Wortham, and told him. And he, I mean, I could see him kind of raise an eyebrow, but I think at the same time, I'm sure he's seen a lot of things go through that theater that, yeah, you know, were abnormal. So, but and we do our own cleanup. In fact, when we were at Barnvelder, Louis was so sweet, but my whole company was the cleanup crew. As soon as they were done, we pulled out industrial vacuums and vacuumed it all up.
Oh, that's great.
So I mean, we try to take care of, you know, and I have a great group of dancers who also get the fact that if I did it myself, I'd be there till one, so they all step
right
in. So.
Yeah, that's great that they were able to do that.
Very human.
Not all, like, performers that I've run into would do that.
Would do that, I know.
At all.
I know, I'm pretty lucky. Yeah, they're all out there with wet mops and vacuums and brooms. And
wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, I mean, just the thought of cleaning that up. And, like, rehearsals, did you rehearse with all of the...
No, we do not rehearse. We very rarely rehearse with the props until, if we're lucky, the day before dress rehearsal. But a lot of times, it's just dress rehearsal. So there's an element which, as a performer early on, I was such a perfectionist that would have driven me crazy.
Right.
I mean, I would have been like, I need my prop all the time. But the other thing is, as I've gotten older... more mature, as I've gotten riper in my dance career, I should say. The idea of not having everything set and having an element of improv is more exciting for me to watch. When it's a perfect performance, I'm usually asleep because there's a dryness to it. And what I like is that element of surprise, and also the dancers that I choose, and I shouldn't say dancers because they're really performers that I choose, all can think on their feet. So if one of them slips on the flower, they put it in the dance. And they themselves are really good at improvising and being in the moment. And that takes a very special performer. And so I think that because of that, I apologize profusely to them, but I still, you know, usually because we can't clean that up at every rehearsal.
Yeah.
And also I do like that kind of sense that they're very much in the now.
Yeah, and not robotically just performing choreography that they've... There's that... It's nice to have that extra added effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. So, no, we very rarely do. Because in that piece alone... Although, I will say the one section in there that we did a lot of practice with the food was the section with the live piano.
Oh,
the guy
comes
out, and then they have the junk food in the bags, and they pop the food all over... we had to practice because the first time we did it, we used pork rinds, and there's so much grease on the pork rinds that they were sliding all over the place in a dangerous way. I mean, not in a way that was, you know, wow, that's exciting, let's do more of that, but to a point where I was afraid they could hurt their knees or back or stuff.
Right.
So we found out, thank God for the light fruit food craze, everything we got was baked. Nothing was in oil.
Right on.
Baked, not fried.
Yeah.
So we're healthy on stage as well as, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah. Aside from the marshmallows at the end, but...
Yeah. So you've worked in... You've lived in New York for... A number of years.
I was there from 85, 86, somewhere around there, to 96, 97. When I moved. So a good 10, 11 years. I was hoofing it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why Texas? Is there, or even compare, like, what it's like being an artist here?
Yeah, that's interesting. First of all, I love being an artist here, and I love it because I never thought I could leave New York. And I, in fact, just last night I had a very strong memory and missing it, and walking down 2nd Avenue and 6th Street for some reason. That was where all the Indian food was, and I don't really like Indian food, but I love that going by there and smelling the curry on that street. But it was time. What I didn't want was to be trapped there for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And even though I had, thankfully, and I'm very grateful, a very good career, it was time to move on. I had worked with this company. It had been very satisfying. I had gotten to this great level. But I was boring. I was getting, not bored, just stale, I think. And I don't feel like I was pushing the envelope so much. And right about that time, my sister got breast cancer. She lives in Houston. I started making the trek back and forth because she had a little girl, 9 months at the time. And she needed some help with the care. She and her husband, she's married, and fortunately still alive, and will celebrate 11 years this year.
Wow.
But I made so many trips that I ended up staying, and then she got worse before she got better, and she needed almost full-time help. And so I stayed with the idea of, oh, if I don't like it, I can always move. Nothing's final. And I ended up really liking it. I like there's a youthful edge and a raw edge here in Houston that I really like. And I've seen it in the performance groups like Infernal Bridegroom Productions, Bob and Doctrine. I think they're, you know, just really, really top-notch theater performance groups. Two Star Symphony. I mean, they're very exciting. Oh God, I saw them with Bob and Doctrine, and they're so exciting. I'm just like thrilled with what they're doing. There's some. I think Stanton coming into Houston Ballet. There's a lot of freshness there. Houston Met is doing some great work. Dominic is dancing. Suchu. I mean, there's some great.
There's a lot of dance in Houston.
Sophonia. And everybody's working really hard, but it's one of the most friendly communities I've ever seen. Everybody really cares. Although I'm a little worried because now we're getting so busy in our own little corners that I don't think we're supporting and seeing each other's work as much as we should.
Right.
Our audiences need to get stronger, and I'm seeing that a little bit, unfortunately, at Diverse Works. There's so many things that Sixto brings in, and we're so busy doing our stuff that we're not getting out of our studios or away from our computer, which is almost as bad sometimes as a TV or a Nintendo machine.
Yeah.
We ourselves have to get out and see live art. And when I was in New York, that was the one thing, is I really put myself on a pathway to see as much as I could. And it's not necessarily in my form. I'm now finding that I like to go see visual art almost more than dance to stimulate me as an artist. So the scene is great. I mean, it's fabulous. I mean, you know, even like an art car parade. I mean, that just blew me away. The first time I went to an art car parade, I was like, wow, this is awesome. So, yeah, I mean, my sister's doing well, and she works side by side with me, and I ended up just staying. And now I have two dogs in a car, and I can't move back.
There's no turning back.
So, yeah. Two big dogs. I mean, I guess if I had little dogs, like Britney Spears has that one that fits in her bag.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think Paris Hilton does too. I thought, they were thinking ahead.
You know? Yeah, they were, but yeah. Those dogs.
Do they think, those two? No, never mind.
Yeah. It was an accessory for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Uh-huh. So.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for inviting me, Michael.
Sure.
You have fun. You take care.
I will, and you do the same.
I will.
All right, thanks.
Yay, Jane Wiener. I love that woman so. Thanks again, Jane, for being on the show. And again, guys, the cooking show is not to be missed. You can see it. It's November 5th and 6th. I'll remind you as it gets closer. I didn't get ticket information from her either. They may not even be for sale yet. It's a couple months away. But seriously, the best dance I've ever seen. I'm not a big classical dance fan, and sometimes even the more contemporary stuff I get a little lost on. But throw some flour around, people. Let's have some meat pounding and stuff. That could be dirty. Anyway, that'll be at the Wortham Center in the Cullen Theater. And as it gets closer, I will indeed give you guys more information and pester you to go. So there you go. This week I've been reading podcasting by, I guess it's podcasting, the Do-It-Yourself Guide, as suggested by the girl on tech, Jennifer. I can't remember her name. And again, I'm not opening, I'm messing with anything on my computer while I'm recording. But the book is by Todd Cochran. And if you're interested in podcasting, it's really worth a read. As much as I complained about, I can't remember if I recorded the complaining today. But getting set up today, I'm much happier with this setup. It's just a little bit, it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. But I got it directly from this book. So get that. And he should give me some money. Damn. I just gave him a commercial and stuff. So I decided to start a new weekly feature. Last week I called my friend Matt a little bitch, and he still hasn't listened to my show, so he's still a little bitch who recommends good music. So let me close this. This week's little bitch suggestion. The song is called Love's Almighty, and it's by the band Telepop Music. I like it. It's swanky. Here it is.
Thank you.
That was Love's Almighty by Telepop Music. I'll put a link to them in the show. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I forgot this happens. This is a little, like, tag at the end of... It's going into the next track on the CD. What do I do? Oh, God. I'm going to fade it out. Oh, yeah. Pretend that didn't just happen. Okay, thanks. That's pretty much the show for today. Oh, God. No, it's not. I forgot about Mr. Lawrence Simon. Hold on. Here we go.
Those Who Can't Do by Lawrence Simon. On the first day of school, the most important thing to do is to identify who's dealing what drugs that year. Sometimes your connection ends up getting transferred to another school or sent to juvie, and you need to get your fix through someone else. One thing's for sure, the prices always go up. The stuff they sell might change from grade to grade, even though you can always find the classics if you look hard enough, but you'll always shell out more for that same high. And people think the 3 months off is why I teach, as if...
I love all of Lawrence Simon's stuff. But every now and then there's one that I totally love, and I'm like, ah, that's the one. That's the one that's going on the show this week. So that was it. Lawrence has offered to do some maybe Mikey Pod exclusives, so look for that in the future, or I'll just keep pulling them from my site. Either way, oh, you can check him out at isfullofcrap.com. And he podcasts those, just a selection of them. I don't believe he does all of his 100-word stories. But you can check those out at podcasts/isfullofcrap.com. I believe that's right. I'll make sure it's right in the notes. Now, the end of the show. That went pretty well. I feel like it's okay. I haven't heard it yet, but, you know, it's probably okay. Right? Dear God, let it be okay. I'm going to close with this song by If Thousands. Yeah, If Thousands. I heard it them first on Chris Daly's PodSafe Music Countdown. I'm sorry, Pod Music Countdown, which can be located at podmusiccountdown.com. He counts down the 10 most popular tracks on the PodSafe Music Network website. If Thousands, the track that actually made it on the countdown was called Push, if I'm correct. But I listened to some of their stuff, and I like this one better. And I'm going to end with it. It's a very ethereal kind of track. Listen to it, though. I mean, give it some... Listen, this isn't the type of music that you just put in the background. You got to listen. So that's how I'm going to close the show. Before I do, MikeyPod@gmail.com. Emails are always welcome. I need to get a voicemail thing going. I'll do that before next week. And you can see the website at MikeyPodOnTheBayou.blogspot.com. Okay? Okay. That sounds good. I think I've told you everything I need to. So have a great week. And enjoy this track by If Thousands. It's called We Sent H-I-R... I'm sorry. Enjoy this track by If Thousands. It's called We Sent H-L-R-E. This is Mikey Pod signing off. No, actually, I'm moving windows around to prepare to sign off. This is Mikey Pod signing off. Thank you.
Percent. H. L. R. E. Thank you. we sent H-L-R-E.